Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hello again, and welcome to episode 19 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, in London, as always, and with me, again, is...
James Ross.
Britt Monroe.
Ben Meredith.
Lydia Nicholas.
And who are you playing?
Oh, it's back to me. Oh, there's just an order. I'm not really used to this. Okay, I'm playing Sasha Rackett, and she's fine.
Zolf Smith, who is not going to tell you about his backstory.
Hammond, the halfling sorcerer.
Sir Bertrand McGuffigan, the best one.
Yes.
Well, right. If you listen to our fans, yes.
Yep.
Hey, everyone will get a moment to shine. If you chose to be a roaming id, you would get the attention too.
You missed three letters off of that last word.
So, before we start, I want to give a quick shout out to Paul. You know who you are. Thanks loads for the assets that you sort of chucked my way. Effectively what it is...
You're being vague enough that I'm going to assume that it's something really dirty.
Nah, I'm going to follow it up. You ready? Right. Currently we've been telling everyone about the SRD, the Online System Reference Document, which is free because it's open source gaming system. There's a paid version, which is very, very cheap, available for iPad, which is called PFRPGRD, which is the same thing. It's just available offline, which helps because we have to turn, obviously, Wi-Fi off and things like that when it comes to the recording equipment. And it also allows me to do things quicker and organize things. It has sped up the process for prepping, certainly, a lot for me. And certainly it will be doing in this session. Also, he put me on some other fun programs called iCrit and iFumble, which instead of just leaving it as a big wishy-washy, oh, you do extra damage. No. If I so choose, we can have it so that it generates really awful effects instead. You know, remember when I once said when Hamid mucked up his magic and you're like, shouldn't something bad happen? And I went, yeah, I'll let him off this time. Not no anymore. Oh no, now I've got all of the tools I need to ruin your days.
Yay. It's cool. I'm pretty sure I've rolled my full quota of ones for this campaign.
I think we all have.
So, quick recap. Obviously, everything with the simulacrum, you guys are now investigating the scrapbook which was found after your first investigation. It led you via Beaming Gusset's Emporium, let's call it. And after a brief stint of Zolf definitely not sharing anything, but discovering there was some true adamantine from that metal shard, you decided to head off to the British Museum to chase up the origami swan.
Where, in a powerful visual metaphor for the decline of Bertie's dynasty, through incompetence, an artifact of previous glory was knocked over, blasting a massive hole in the wall and creating a lot of chaos and now probably some violence.
Ooh, it's so exciting. Violence.
It was knocked over by Bertie's only artifact, which is an incompetent dog.
Incompetent both figuratively and literally.
He's your only bit of booty.
Yeah, oh God, he is as well.
You better protect him.
Yeah.
So, we'll pick up where we left off. The curator had just run outside. You guys were dashing to just get out of the immediate area, and as that swirling cloud of sort of grey blue mist starts expanding and expanding from that broken vase or vase, I know I'm going to keep doing that, we have US listeners, they get very annoyed at me, and as it expands and expands and expands, it starts to coalesce suddenly into four distinct forms.
Square.
Did we release those French bandits from that thing?
Four skeletons.
Ah.
The first one that forms has a glowing crown hovering above its head in blue flame. It still has the tatters of clothes upon him. What looks like was once a bandolier has slumped and is empty, but he wields in one in each hand a scimitar. Ooh. Then three other skeletons appear, again coalescing from the dust, dotted out, and they are wielding broadswords. Mm-hmm. Now, of these, the lead skeleton, let's call it the one with the crown, immediately places itself and takes stock of its surroundings, as do the other three. And we will enter initiative order.
Yay!
So, the first thing that you guys will notice as well is that the explosion appears to have blocked off one of the side entrances from the room. So there is only one way in, one way out, the way which the curator legged it. So to reiterate, in the middle we have an enormous tank full of flesh golem. To the left, a crystal of banshee which appears unbroken, and one hopes it stays that way. To the right, the statue of Everard. At the back is one of the staves which has been knocked over along with a bigger display. And what was the vase vase is now long gone. And a weapons rack near where Sasha and Zolf are currently loitering. Hamid's nearest the statue, and Bertie is probably nearest the banshee. So, without further ado, the first skeleton charges Sasha.
No!
It takes a swing with a broken scimitar and misses formidably. That's its turn. Then, Hamid, you're up.
Hamid backs off behind Zolf and casts magic missile at the skeleton in front of Sasha.
Yep.
And does three damage.
Three damage?
D4s feel so pathetic to roll. There's just no weight or noise to them.
No.
Okay. Then.
Maybe one out of a hammer.
The King Skeleton. We'll call him the King Skeleton. You have no more context than that. The guy with a floating crown above his head is not that big a leap. Surveys the situation, seems significantly more intelligent than the others, which are just a bit like, whereas that was my skeletal. I'm glad you liked it.
You're down the head.
I'll get you, He-Man. So the larger skeleton king creature, wielding its two scimitars, looks around, looks left, looks right, and then just straight out charges Bertie. Then it takes a double slash at Bertie.
Ooh.
Now, gets critical.
Does it confirm it?
What's your AC, Bertie?
20.
20?
Yeah.
Doesn't confirm, but it does get a hit. Dealing. 4. And then the second attack. Does not hit. So it gets one attack hit that does 4 damage.
Okay, so now down to 19 health points.
Yep.
A lot of us would like to start.
It takes the attack and then opens its mouth and goes...
You're going to really enjoy editing.
Oh, it's going to be great. Yeah. I'm going to hate myself so much.
Hearing that through all the different mics at the same time.
Oh, yes. At which point, the second skeleton in order makes a dash for Brutor.
No, no. Brutor! Does Brutor notice?
We'll see. And probably doesn't hit. Let's see.
What is a dog's AC?
Does not hit. Ah. Does not hit.
Well, it's a small creature, so it won't be terrible. It'll have some dex.
Mm-hmm. At which point, the other skeleton takes its attack.
How badly did we all roll?
Pretty bad.
I was fine.
It takes a swing at Zolf.
Cool.
Your AC is also high, isn't it?
18.
Misses. So, Sasha, you're up.
I stabbed the dude that stabbed me twice.
Make your attacks.
Okay.
And you get both of them because you're not moving. And... yeah, go for it.
Okay, first one. 2! Oh,
that's a miss, but not a fumble.
That's a miss, right? 18.
18? Mm-hmm. 18 is a hit.
Yay! But then I roll my meager d4 minus 1. Naught. I do naught damage. I do nothing. I do minus one.
Well, it's obvious though. I mean, what happens is, you know, Sasha goes, an enemy! I'll get it in the liver!
Yeah, try to
get
it.
Or the kidneys!
Yeah.
Oh, what's happening?
I get one of them in a really nice practiced angle right under the ribs.
And do nothing at all.
Under the ribs. Lovely little xylophone sound.
It's the thigh bones connected to the...
Follow that thought because it's your turn.
Right, so Bertie is facing off against King Skeleton.
That's the one.
Who's just made what noise? Right back in his face. Direct eye contact with him during that. And then Bertie swings his magic sword.
Yep.
And draw
does he
it
dance
first?
The magic sword? First?
You will have to draw it first. So you will be basically provoking an attack of opportunity by virtue of drawing.
Well, I have no real choice about that, do I?
No.
You could not draw.
That's much
and do
worse.
What?
Yeah.
There's no better choice. That's not what you asked. You said there was no other choice.
Fine. I will draw my magic sword.
Yep, that's fine. It decides to take the attack of opportunity and does not hit.
Cool. Magic sword and I swing it. Roll.
Yep.
That is 11. My attack bonus is 7 with the bastard sword. So that is 18.
That's 18
really
good. Is a hit.
What do I roll now?
D10, is it?
D10 for D10 plus 4 for damage.
There you go.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's 6.
6.
Yay!
Okay.
So 10 total.
Oh, yes, 10 total.
That's a killing machine. Yeah, it's like
made of murder.
Pretty much.
The skeleton goes as you hit it.
Bertie's apparently playing Simon with the skeleton.
Zolf, you're up.
Okay.
In a nice small room where you don't have to run everywhere to get involved.
Yes. I'm going to take a 5-foot step. Here.
Ooh, 5-foot step between the two skeletons.
Yes, basically because it gives Sasha more of an opportunity to flank someone if she wants to.
Wise.
And then I'm going to prod the one nearest Hamid and give it scurvy.
Now, can you read for me the description of scurvy?
So, it's a touched attack. They get a saving throw with fort and negates it. And it's got spell resistance, so... target... contracts advanced scurvy, constantly fatigued, and this is the important bit, suffers from bone pain. So I don't know if this will be any worse for skeletons.
See, now what I'm looking up is quite literally whether this affects skeletons, and if it does, if it affects them worse or better.
That's minus one to strength and dex based checks. Wounds easily, plus one damage for any bleed effects on target. Lose teeth.
That's going to look really stupid on a
skeleton.
That is
going to look really dumb. And slow to heal.
Okay.
So, yes, I don't need to roll.
Can you read me the technical stats? Because it may be immune to this.
Cost one standard action, range, touch, target living creature, touched, living.
Living.
There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh, so you can't.
It has to be a living creature.
Can't give a skeleton scurvy.
That's not a living creature.
So, yeah, looking it up, it's not a living creature because it's a skeleton, and skeletons aren't living as much as you want them to be, and that would be terrifying. So, no, you cannot give a skeleton scurvy. That's your fun fact for the day.
Yeah.
I heard that we all have a spooky, spooky skeleton inside us.
It's a myth. It's a myth. I will allow you to not have used that spell for the simple reason that I would hope that a trained cleric would know that they can't give
true.
A dead thing.
That is probably true. Okay, fine. Then I'm going to... No, actually. Burning Disarm.
Burning Disarm?
That's the one with the broken scimitar, right?
Okay.
Yeah, the target is held metal item, so it has to be a living creature. Yeah, range is range. Duration, instant, saving throw, reflex, negates.
Okay, so let's do that save and see how it goes. Really well! Amazingly well. So, yeah, the skeleton... The item in his hand glows first red, then white hot in a flash, and you see a coming from its hand.
So it takes 2d4 damage?
Yep.
Because my cast level is 2, right? Because I'm level 2. 4 damage.
And it takes the 4 damage. So what happens is it goes. You see it almost like let go and then hold on, which was clearly a mistake. It holds on, and then its whole hand just bursts aflame. The flame leaps up the arm, accelerated as if the magic's having some kind of an effect. And as you hear it basically the arm explodes and takes the rest of the skeleton with it, and it just collapses into a pile of dust.
Wow.
And I'll use my free ash to say, fire hurts them!
I hate to spoil the party, but don't you take attacks of opportunity for casting in their threat range?
Sure.
Yes.
I don't know.
It would have been 2 attacks whilst you did that.
Fine.
Which let's say that they'll take, because I'm that guy.
You could cast defensively.
That's a miss.
I've got 18 AC.
And another miss, so it's utterly irrelevant. Cool. We played it by the numbers and you still annihilated one of them with a
disarm.
That's
how clerics do.
Good move. Good move. We like that move. Brutor! Brutor.
Perception check.
Brutor.
No, he loves bones.
He is
going to work.
The enemy is
he's
made of
like,
bones.
Ooh,
you know what?
Take the bone.
Yep, for the first time, I will allow Brutor an attack.
Right.
The attack fails.
And no one is surprised.
Yeah. Brutor notices a skeleton and goes, ooh, well, then goes to bite and just misses because Brutor's really slow and is misnamed. Okay, Hamid, you're up.
I cast Magic Missile again. This time I cast Magic Missile at the skeleton in front of Zolf.
Mm-hmm.
And I do 4 damage.
4 damage? So you fire it off, and let's say you capture it right in the midriff. The vertebra snap, and yeah, it separates itself in two. And as it separates, the two parts start burning away with a sort of black flame, leaving only dust. Okay.
We're doing well, guys. I'm scared.
The head skeleton now takes another double attack at Bertie. Misses against the ridiculous, ridiculous AC. And misses again. Oh. Ching, 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 ching. Just cannot get through that armor, no matter how hard it tries.
Falcons are good for something.
Yeah.
The remaining skeleton that is not a king takes another attack at Brutor.
That's cool. That's what his job is, guys. Yeah. To draw the attention away
hits
from us.
Brutor!
Animal cruelty. Monsters.
Stealing.
This is good. Brutor makes a noise that we can all imitate. Yeah. Any of us can play Brutor. Yeah.
We are okay. All Brutor.
In many ways, this is
I'm Brutor.
Simply the nemesis that comes after his hubris for playing with the staff in the first place.
Dealing true. 5 damage against Brutor.
Oh, little Brutor.
It's grim for such a small creature.
Yeah, Brutor is not unconscious, but Brutor looks messed up, ladies and gentlemen. Messed up. Sasha, you're up. You've currently heard a...
If I go around the back of that skeleton, and am I flanking it?
Yes, you are. You wouldn't get both attacks, but you would get the sneak attack.
Cool. Gonna do that.
Yep. Bish, bash, bosh.
So I roll to hit. 14.
Just misses.
No!
Just misses. Again, you're just really thrown by bits that you would attack are missing.
I avoid bones.
Plus two for flanking.
Oh,
Bryn saves you the day. That's a hit.
Yay.
So that's that plus, it's a d6.
So then I do a d6 plus a d4. And the d4 is -1, but the d6 is +1. So
yes.
6.
Yeah, yeah. As the sound of Brutal going...
Thank you, Bryn.
Sasha, quick as lightning, dashes across, and having learned her lesson this time, what would you attack? What would Sasha do?
She'd just go for it. She'd slip it between the sort of vertebra.
Unzip.
So he's in halves.
Yeah, basically. And again, those two halves, they just burn away. There is now only King Skeleton left of the enemies. Bertie, you're up.
Bertie is going to have a power attack on the King Skeleton.
Very well. So. At which point the skeleton's special ability goes off. It gets a free attack of opportunity on Bertie.
Because I made a power attack.
Because you made an attack at all.
Oh!
Da 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 da.
Yeah.
It's probably gonna miss.
It misses on but because of its special ability, it gets both with both scimitars. It's a very specific creature. And hits!
Oh my goodness.
About time. Right. So
it only took 6 attacks?
It deals 8 damage.
You're fine.
Down to 11.
Yeah. Basically, Bertie winds up his
Welcome
power attack.
Welcome to my level.
Bertie winds up for his power attack, and the skeleton, seeing its opportunity, an evil glint comes into its flaming eyes, and with crown slightly askew, it makes a jab! A quick jab that leaps beneath the armour, in beneath the armpit, and nicks the underarm.
If I want my underarm shaving, I'll let you know.
Now you may take your power attack.
Right. So, d20.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, free attack.
7 plus attack bonus of 6.
Yep.
You do 13. Not hit.
Ah.
Da, da, da.
So, Zolf, you're up. Bertie's bleeding, like actually bleeding.
Goodness gracious me. I'm going to take a double move towards the skeleton man. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, that's one mm-hmm. move. 3, there you go.
You've got a range of 10 foot.
You've got a reach weapon, mate. You could move and attack.
Oh, okay, cool. So that will count as flanking because I can...
Yep.
Okay. Oh, Bryn. I'll do that then. Thank
cool,
Bryn.
And get your +2 to hit, which Bryn was very kind to remind us all of.
That's 18.
Okay, that
no,
is
it's
a...
not. You've
you have an attack 2. Bonus, surely.
And the flanking bonus, so it's 20.
Oh, and, okay, so it's 20.
Yeah,
so
that's a hit.
Flanking.
Yeah. That's a hit.
Okay, cool. And that is 1d8. 7 damage.
Nice.
7 damage?
7 plus 1, presumably.
presumably.
Yes, because plus strength. God, put things on your character sheet, then.
So, you attack the skeleton, you jab it in the back.
So I just strong. Put it in its ribcage and wiggle it around.
Yep, that's the one.
No, no, you the skeleton
goes... drops both its scimitars.
Did I just tickle it?
Like, ooh, stop, ooh.
Oh, the inside of my ribs, it's so tickling. Brutor proceeds to flee and cower beneath Everard's statue, having taken a blow.
Thinking it's Bertie.
Yeah.
Definitely. Hamid, you're up.
I cast Magic Missile. Yay! I mean, that's a surprise to everyone. It's all I've done the entire combat. There's only one remaining enemy, which is the Skeleton King. It's on the other side of the room, but Magic Missile is unerring, and I do 5 damage.
That's a lot of damage.
Not bad.
You blast the skeleton from the side. It loses half of its rib cage, but it's still just staggering around. It now is wielding no weapons, is missing half of its rib cage. It quite literally looks one blow away from being completely annihilated, but it has one turn left. The remaining skeleton, angry, annoyed, enraged. It takes a final swing. But what's this? It takes a 5-foot step and takes the swing at Hamid. That's not Zulf. Hamid. It takes a 5-foot step and takes the swing at Zulf.
I mean, it's a dwarf in a horned helmet. I don't know how that looks like a sorceress banker.
So, what's it swinging with? It dropped its weapons.
It's nutting me with the crown.
It now gets 2 claw attacks. It takes its first claw attack. Takes his first claw attack and misses.
Aha!
It takes its next claw attack, and then it activates its surge ability, allowing it an additional 6, definitely hitting Zulf.
Cool.
It deals a formidable, not that formidable, 1+2 damage.
Oh!
Zulf takes 3 damage, and the skeleton, knowing the end is near, goes...
Which is skeleton, but
this is frustrating.
Curse you!
I am quite annoyed!
Sasha, you're up.
Dash around the bat and stab him in the non-existent kidneys.
Go to there and you'll get your flanking.
And you get your flanking bonus again. So again, you get the 1 attack plus your sneak attack damage. You get your -1 and your +1, which will cancel one another out.
So you a hit.
That's a no.
That's a no.
I know the maths. Oh. That's a no.
Be 6+4+2.
Bertie, you're up.
You just take a 5-foot step.
Take a 5-foot step. Am I also flanking him?
Yes,
now?
You are. Wait, okay. To spell out for listeners, because we've been talking a bit and not necessarily spelling out, we now have this mythic skeleton with Sasha behind it on one side, Zulf facing it down, Bertie behind to the right. It's looking very, very bad for the...
Hamid is safely out of the way, casting Magic Missile from across the room.
Okay, cool. Bertie, what do you do?
Bertie is going to make a power attack on the back of this skeleton.
Yep, go for it.
Oh, one.
Oh, that's really bad. That's now, really bad that we're both here as
we
well.
We get to finally play with my new fuzzle toy.
This is the point at which like, we're doing really well, and then you just straight up dissect one of us.
Yeah.
We're going to get about, like, 3 ones in a row now. That's how it always plays out.
Oh, it's got a little sword fighty noise.
You take a -1 penalty on all attack rolls until you score a critical hit. For this combat.
Oh, right. Okay.
And
how does that occur narratively?
Narratively, what happens is you take your huge swing at the skeleton, you miss, it reaches out with its hand and basically scratches at your inner gauntlet, causing it to lock as it catches one of the straps. So now your hand is locked at a kind of really, really abrupt wrist angle, making it really difficult for you to basically wield your sword.
Like
until
a
you
T-Rex
take...
trying to use a typewriter.
Yeah. That's a very specific reference, but yes.
Okay.
And it will remain that way until the end of the combat, at which point you can sort of undo that strap and sort yourself out.
Right.
I'm going to prod him with my trident, as is my tradition. That is 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
It activates, before that damage resolves itself, its special ability to attack you because you're attacking. With a miss. And a second miss. It takes 2 big claws and then realises too late, because it's a skeleton and they're not sharp, that there's a massive trident between it and you and that it can do that as much as you want. Your trident's massive.
That's fair.
So your attack resolved to?
17.
17. Hit.
Lovely.
That is another 5 damage.
You have managed to kill the skeleton. How would you like to say that went down?
Again, put it in the ribcage and spin the trident, just kind of flinging it across the room. It just goes, boom!
So its limbs sort of spin outwards, like it's doing
it's like
star
a pinwheel,
jump.
Yeah.
So we'll say your trident jab in, and one prong between 3 different ribs, and it's you share, your eyes lock for one moment, and the skeleton goes, shakes his head a little bit. Zolf, with his little squint, twists the trident. The skeleton's thrown off its legs, its limbs already weakened, fly off in all directions, and it literally explodes into bone-like confetti that burns away into dust.
Yeah. None of which hit anything like the Banshee and the Flesh Golem hard enough to do anything, right?
Hitting the tank in the middle, which cracks.
Ugh.
And water starts gushing out.
Oh,
and at that, we'll take a break.
Yeah.
And we'll get back to this in a couple of minutes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello? Hello? Oh, I sit there. And talking to this? This, right, good, that is odd. Yes, and you, bring me a whiskey, with a rum in it. Yeah, lovely. Yes, so, good evening, peasants. I am Sir Bertrand McGuffingham. Now, I've been told the tales of my feats of heroism, adventure, and utterly selfless derring-do were spreading far and wide, arcing across the sky like lightning, rending the heavens in twain with their magnitude and ploughing into people's ears like a plough made of me being splendid. Now, the important thing is that I'm excellent, and everyone should know just how excellent I am. So in order to set yet more ears aquiver in anticipation of my every exploit, I would like you, specifically you, to tell your friends about how utterly super I am. Now, according to the technical busybods of Rusty Quill, and trust me, their bods are very busy, if you tell a friend about us and they subscribe to my tales of chivalric daring, then when they send us an email to mail@rustyquill.com with their name and the person who recommended it, they will have an episode dedicated to them. Now, I've no idea what that means, but it sounds jolly lovely. Anyway, once you've done all of that, all you need to do is pop the cash in non-consecutive bills into an envelope and send it What do you mean they don't have to pay? Oh, I am literally never... Don't you test me, sir! Fine. Well, recommend us to your friends and don't pay us and you still get your own episode. Now, if it excuses me, I have to have a serious chat with the underlings about the actual meaning of the word mercenary.
And welcome back. So, yeah, water's gushing from the tank holding the flesh golem. The water continues gushing, the cracks grow wider.
Zolf, can you do something about this?
Unless you fill a tank full of more water, that's about all I can do.
The cracks spread, the tank shatters!
Oh, for goodness sake.
The water gushes out everywhere, and the flesh golem flops forward and just goes...
I mean, that is probably going to be quite expensive.
And then
it's going to be difficult to clear up.
Split a bit, and bits of it kind of spread across the
floor. Oh, it smells horrible.
And it smells vile.
I mean, literally 2 days ago, I was swimming around in poo, and that's worse.
The stitching comes undone from parts, and one of its arms drifts across the remaining water and just bumps up against the Everard statue.
Well, that's just grim.
You see Brutor reach out, sniff, and recoil back beneath the Everard statue. It's all gone quiet. Is everybody dead?
Yes.
Or the bad ones.
sort of pokes his head in, and you just see his the curator's face.
They smash the jar.
Oh.
They were trying to smash us, though, so this is actually the better outcome.
Darn bandit lords and their jar smashing.
Another glorious victory for the House of MacGuffingham. I think this is a day that will live in memory and song.
Definitely infamy.
Song and memory.
The problem is, Bertie, is normally the damage isn't all to the property of your own family.
I mean, to be honest, it might live on in a Derry Limerick.
Technically, actually, the way the donation system works, it's the property of the museum. It was a very generous... where's the dog?
He's there, under the statue, I point.
The curator just goes over, comes back. I am very sorry about your dog, Sir Bertrand, but... in lieu of the payments that are already missing, in addition to the damages that have just been done, I mean, I very much appreciate all of your efforts to...
We saved your life.
I appreciate it. I do. But nonetheless, I mean,
If we hadn't stood it, these guys would have, like, run amok. You'd have so many people destroyed.
If you hadn't stood here, they never would have come here in the first place.
To be fair, actually, although you couldn't afford any magical security, you could have maybe put the vase with the trap spirits of four bandit lords maybe in a glass case.
Now, excuse me. I would rather you didn't speak to me in that tone. There was a velvet rope, and it was well signposted.
I think you may have a slightly skewed idea of what security is, but...
Mr. Smith, if you will excuse me, he sort of tries to pull Bertie aside briefly. Forgive me, Sir Bertrand, but honestly, given the recent damages, our need for your payment is rather immediate. As it is, I mean, I'm going to have to bring in specialists just to clean up... Oh,
Bertie? Oh. Sounds like this guy's trying to extort money out of you.
How much would be the required sum?
Well, yeah, the MacGuffingham family is still contractually obliged for a 1,000 gold donation in a quarterly payment, and that's not in addition to the damages. But you are quite right in that you did help to mitigate the disaster, so I suspect we could be able to just skimp on Mr. Carter's expedition and possibly redirect the funds, but it would still require at least the 4,000. I'm very sorry, Sir Bertrand. I don't know what to say.
What's the ramifications of not paying this?
I want you to understand this isn't my choice, but breach of contract is technically a criminal matter. Now, we would not want, of course, that to reach that far. I mean, there's no need to, of course, the MacGuffingham family name. I mean, Mr. Smith, I don't think you quite understand it. I mean, this is but a drop in the pool for Mr.
Smith. Excuse me, just one moment. Huddle.
We huddle. I huddle.
The curator goes,
yeah, shoo the curator.
Certainly, he sort of... I was going to say he backs off. He just stands there, crestfallen, occasionally squelching through what was left of a flesh column.
Breach of contract's definitely not a criminal matter. It's civil at most.
Really?
Legally speaking.
Well,
they would only be able... What is this going to do is sue to recover their losses?
There are certain additional complications which I'm not at liberty to divulge. Needless to say, the consequences of even a civil pursuit of this matter would be really most grave.
Right, well, I've got 2,000 sitting around. I ain't spent it yet.
I have 1,000.
Yeah, we need another 1,000 from someone. Oh.
Everyone give me a perception roll.
25.
Yep.
18 minus 1 is 17.
Mm. 16.
Mm-hmm. 19.
All of you notice this, then. As you're having your discussion, two very nondescript figures step forward simultaneously through the double doors. They are both medium-sized gnomes wearing very sharp...
Sorry, medium-sized is a technical term.
Agreed.
I don't think you
mean
that.
No, that's a fair point. I mean, they are medium for gnomes, by which I mean of the
average
small
height.
Category. Average height is a better way of putting it. Incredibly nondescript gnomes, but in incredibly sharp suits. All black, every single layer, down to their shiny shoes and their very, very sharp ties, with a single silver tie pin for each of them, with what looks like it may be a diamond. It's hard to tell at this distance. And they just stand there, survey the area, and then both of them simultaneously turn to Bertie and give a slight nod.
Who on earth were they?
They are gnomes. Now, you see, a gnome is a very small man.
What would their profession be?
They are gnomes who wear suits and dark suits. Possibly they are artists' models or mannequins of some kind.
Well, they just wandered into a museum and nodded sinisterly at
me. They've been following you about for a while, Bertie. I keep seeing them around.
Any accusation that I am being followed by gnomes is a sign of extreme paranoia.
The gnomes then proceed to walk towards your group.
They're lawyers,
the curator looks confused but doesn't really stop them.
Nothing to be ashamed of if you're being followed by people, but just tell us.
Oh, goodness me, is that the time? Look, a bee!
At which point they are upon you, and in unison, good afternoon, Sir Bertrand. It is a pleasure, as always. We understand there has been some damages to the museum exhibit. That does seem a great shame. Can we be of assistance to yourself?
Ah, yes. Well, of course, now, these things, these damages were, of course, accrued and accumulated in the pursuit of noble glory for the House of MacGuffingham. This is simply collateral damage. Look at it. Ah, things, they fall over. The heat of combat, you know, when the blood is up.
Would you have said that there would have been imminent danger to any of those present should you have not intervened?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, definitely.
Danger of the most mortal and perilous kind.
There were skeletons.
Show them the wound, Bertie. They wounded you.
Look, here. And at this point, Bertie lifts up his armour. Like, woo, I mean, look, spring break. And he's got, like, huge wounds.
Wait, so as he lifts it, it goes above his head, catches his helmet, and his helmet is just balanced on top of his cuirass. As he extends to about 8 foot tall.
The gnomes sort of look at each other and turn back. And that would count in your favour.
I'm bleeding, like, really, like, lots. Like, loads. And then, like, Bertie at that point, like, wipes some blood onto his hand. It's like, look at this! And then rubs it on the gnome. Loads! This is loads of blood!
The gnome that you wiped blood on reaches out, takes a hanky and slowly dabs itself down. They then turn simultaneously to Sasha. Would you consider yourself a damsel in distress?
Really damsel-y, look at her. I mean, you know, there's this leather jacket
thing.
If
you will excuse us, Sir Bertrand, would you consider yourself a damsel in distress?
I mean, not generally. Have you not seen how ladylike I am? I am distressed right now. There's nothing that distresses me.
What are you, the fairy tale police?
More
what is this?
Than... lawyers. I mean, skeletons. I mean, lawyers. I mean, skeletons.
Clearly driven delirious by her traumatic experience. You know how damsels are. You know, it's all of the cinching.
You will allow us to confer. They step aside and just turn their backs to you and briefly are having a conversation.
Counter huddle.
what's a damsel?
Are they lawyers? They are lawyers. They're very lawyers.
Our greatest foe yet.
Why do lawyers need to know if I'm a damsel?
Do you owe them money?
I'm unfortunately not at liberty to disclose under the terms of a thing that I cannot disclose. Terms that may or may not be disclosed at any stage. There's no disclosing.
Are you on a list?
I cannot possibly say, confirm or deny, whether I am or I'm not on a list. I barely know what a list is.
At which point, the two gnomes return. The curator, by this point, is going, look, now, I'm being patient, but frankly, if no one tells me what's going on... At which point, in perfectly synchronised movements, the gnomes, one plucks a pen from its pocket, the other one plucks out a chequebook, the first one tears the cheque from the chequebook the other one is holding, like, perfectly synchronised. They just write a cheque and hand it to the curator.
We think you will find that this covers all expenses and the in-lieu payments which have grievously been overlooked by the MacGuffingham estate managers. We hope that this suits yourself.
Curator sort of looks at it.
Oh, yes, I am, again, so sorry for the misunderstanding, and we will get someone in to clean this up right away. Thank you, as always. Your generosity is greatly appreciated, Sir Bertrand and friends. Yes, I am going to go, yes.
And then he heads off.
Bertie, you have got the spookiest fairy godmother that I have ever encountered.
You should have met my real mother.
At which point, the gnomes, again, in perfectly synchronised, pocketing all of their items.
So, Sir Bertrand, it behooves us to tell you that all previous actions are now considered nullified by the advance payment that has had to be made. Pray that you make sure that you meet your terms.
And then without another word, they reverse and they walk out, take a left, and you just hear them fading away.
Well, that was deeply unsettling.
That was worse than being, you know, exploded that time.
Well, it all seems to be sorted and over now. There's no need to talk about this any further. I consider the matter settled and resolved. Thank you very much for your cooperation, gentlemen and lady.
Bertie, as your employer, is this going to impact your ability to work for
you? I feel like, I mean, we've met Sasha's maybe slightly evil family. Zolf has this weird ring that he doesn't want to talk about.
Yeah, a lot of people have weird rings.
Bertie has these mysterious lawyers.
Some of us don't have them anymore.
I should probably just say right now, I got kicked out of university. Because then it won't be a surprise when it somehow comes along very soon.
Okay.
Maybe.
Well, we've all got our dark past.
What were you kicked out for?
I don't want to talk about it.
So that's. I'm glad we've now established we all have some sort of dark secret which we're keeping.
I don't have a dark secret at all. Look, a distraction!
Nice try, Bertie.
Yeah.
I just feel like I should share all of you
fair enough.
With things.
Well, you can fit in and be popular. That's not a problem.
In all seriousness, Bertie, is this going to have an effect on your ability to work for us?
No.
Do you have any commitments you're going to have to attend to?
Well, the pursuit of glory is a transcendent goal which will have no impact whatsoever. Seen through this mission to completion.
So what do you need to get out from under their thumb? What do they want?
What thumbs? I don't even know what thumbs are.
They're the things on the end of your hands.
Look, a distraction!
Still not working.
Maybe we should just move on. There's things we all don't want to talk about.
Sure, at some point we can all get ice cream and share. Right, what's
never
next
had
on
ice
the
cream.
List? Really?
I mean, they don't really do it in other London. We got
not
like,
even rat flavoured?
Dirty ice. you can get, like, strawberry, but I think it's blood.
I mean, what a grisly detail about the place you grew up in. Hamid, where to next?
The bank, I suppose.
We probably should.
Your nice family hangs out, right? The ones that were so lovely to us.
Yes, I feel like with all the friends we're making in London, we might not wrap this bit up and get to Paris soon, so...
Yeah, I've got mates in Paris. It'll be fine in Paris.
No, we heard about that bit.
Yeah.
There's that bloke that you is a brother you're in love with. I don't know, something. Anyway, shall we?
Too many low charisma characters.
9 charisma. Yeah,
I'm the only one we missed. To spell out for listeners, I watched the two low charisma characters both try to high five. I just missed.
It wasn't a good miss. It was one of those really lame ones where you kind of just rub hands.
Yes. Surely high fiving is dex based, not charisma.
It's true. No. It's definitely confidence. Also, mine's 8, not 9.
So,
fair enough.
Moving on. Presumably, you guys head off
to the bank.
To the bank.
Okay. You head out, and you start heading down the stairs. At first, you realise that you're trailing a little bit of flesh golem. Down the stairs, but...
Oh, like toilet paper stuck in your shoe.
Maybe it would be best to go and clean up and have a meal before we go to the bank. I mean, it's going to be open for a few more hours yet.
Well, you can press the digitizer, can't you?
I'm bleeding quite heavily. I'm
sorry about that. I will convert advanced scurvy into a healing spell.
Ooh, lemons.
Scurvy.
Healing for?
No, it's D8 plus 1 because it's a one level 1 spell I'm converting.
So. 9!
So you're healed for 9 hit points.
Oh, so I'm up to 20.
Uh-huh. So as you are heading out, the curator is sort of coming out from a back office, and he's all smiles again, and again runs over. Again, before you go, thank you so much. I appreciate that it was quite the misunderstanding, and the generosity of the MacGuffingums. The fact that we get to finally make the extension to the MacGuffingum wing. Honestly, we did not expect such generosity. Oh, like father, like son, like father. I hesitate to ask, but given that you prove yourselves quite capable, I have to confess, I was having a little bit of a listen. Did you mention that you were heading to Paris at any point?
Probably, yeah.
Paris is indeed on the
itinerary. Who wants to know?
Well, I have to say that, well, quite frankly, we have something of a valuable nature, and given that, to be blunt, Sir Bertrand, you will be travelling quite well, significantly better than, I must say, any courier would. I was wondering if you would be able to deliver a small delivery for us.
Oh, right, certainly, of course.
I greatly appreciate this. He pulls over a scroll. You see, the Ordinators, they developed the Rosetta program, which we believe may actually be able to finally break the hieroglyphics. It's all very exciting, you see.
Goodness.
And, well, we've got a sample sheet in here. And if you happen to be passing by, then I would greatly appreciate it if you could deliver it. I mean, we have copies, don't worry, it's not an original. But if you're heading that way anyway, frankly, we could do with saving the cash where we can. I mean, especially if we're expanding the MacGuffingham wing. Yeah. Am I right?
Oh, yes, of course. No, it would be an absolute pleasure. Where does it need to be taken? Could you possibly provide me with the address?
Oh, yes, it's all there on the capsule. Feel free to peruse it at your
leisure. Excellent, excellent. Thank you.
Well, again, thank you. I realise it was a bit of a... bit of a shame that we lost some exhibits, but certainly with this we'll be able to arrange some more.
Would you like us to speak to the press at all?
Oh,
about what happened?
I can quite happily make a statement. Is there anything that you'd rather I didn't catch all of the surnames, you see. You'd rather.
No. Well, actually, you can say that it was the
Darren.
We haven't got a name yet.
Not really one for branding.
The mighty MacGuffinghams.
No.
Right, okay. Yes.
No.
Oh, right.
Quick, guys. Can I make a marketing roll?
you've got 3 seconds between you. You ready? Three.
The Mighty Morphing Mercenary Rangers.
No. The Rangers.
The London Rangers.
No.
I've got Rangers. That's what I've got.
Rangers. All right, that'll do.
Zolf's Rangers.
Zolf's Rangers, really?
But yes, it was Hamid Altahan.
Oh, Altahan! Yes. Oh, goodness me.
Should have been harassing him for money.
My, how you've got... I haven't seen this Hamid. Oh, my... Oh, you're Hamid... Last time I saw you, you were yay big.
Open. He still is.
Yes.
Ha, ha, ha.
I'm just having some fun. Hey, I'm short too.
Right, well, I can be sure to sort all this for you. Right, well, there.
Do you have a wing as well, Hamid?
The Eldarans probably own the building. Mm. Now, we are, of course, about to head off on some perilous adventures across... the continent, and indeed beyond. Perilous realms.
So perilous. I feel like I might be having to take my capsule back.
No, Paris isn't the perilous bit.
Paris isn't
perilous, but the perilous bit's post-Paris.
Yeah.
Post-Paris.
Oh, of course, that's perfect.
There is post-Paris peril.
Perilous peril.
So,
potential post-Paris peril. That's pretty much it.
I'm so sorry, Sir Bertrand, you were saying.
I apologise for that.
That is a first.
Yes, isn't it just? Well, of course, you know, and as I am carrying the MacGuffingham name throughout the world, through this realm, further realms beyond this very sphere of experience, saving the world, perhaps, just throwing that idea out there, I wondered perhaps if there is anything from the MacGuffingham collection that might be taken out on loan, perhaps something of my ancestors that might spur me on in my quest to offer succour and assistance. In these difficult times, adventuring ho, you know, sallying forth once again, burnishing the name.
Sallying, yes. Give me a pomp and pageantry diplomacy check.
13.
13?
Yeah.
Then, in which case, the curator looks at you, kind of looks confused for a moment, and goes, Again, I appreciate your situation. We could certainly arrange for you to purchase one of your... ex-family heirlooms at a discount, but we wouldn't be able to part with something necessarily. What I would say is we would be able to offer you a very fair price for anything you brought back from your own adventures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I seem to remember earlier as part of the tour, Nefertiti's cap.
The shawl, yes.
The shawl, I'm terribly sorry. Not much with the fancy female folderol, you see. And it was my recollection that if one was to put it on, that one would gain a second soul. Is that...
Well, that's a gross oversimplification, but carry on.
Well, I am the layest of persons. So, if I were to perhaps acquire that and put it on...
That would be a
very bad idea. Very bad.
It was a 50-50 between losing your soul and getting some more, so...
I cannot condone a death on these premises. As it is, I've already had to deal with almost deaths. I think that's quite enough. I appreciate you very much. It's very clear he's starting to usher Bertie slowly out of the building. Again, we appreciate your
come on, Bertie,
your patronage as always, and naturally your friends are perfectly welcome. And we hope that you can
always pop it on in the gardens, he says to the closed door. Damn.
Well, given that we've saved so much money, I might be able to buy you something nice.
Gift shop's probably closed.
And we'll use that to assume you're heading on to the bank, right?
Yeah.
After lunch.
At which point then, let's call it there. We've had a good session, and I think we're going to end it there, and we will rejoin everyone next week.
I've pressed the digitate. Everyone clean.
Yes. Here was me hoping you were traipsing through London stinking of 100-year-old dead flesh.
And we don't want to end an episode dirty.
Right, well, thanks from everyone, and I look forward to meeting you all again next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Those French bandits from that thing you knocked on
there. May have been.
The first form that emerges to the left of the enormous tank full of flesh golem
is David Bowie.
Is David Bowie?
Is it four David Bowies in different guises?
I refuse to attack them.
It's the different ages of Bowie. One of them's got very glammed up, another one's very understated, but you know, quite pushing it. Anyway,
one is just the Goblin King.
Yeah, one's the very old one that looks like Tilda Swinton.
Yeah. Oh, wow, he does.
Yes. So, anyway, it coalesces. This is meant to be a scary moment, honestly. It coalesces.
I would be scared. The reason I just got really excited is because I've taken advanced scurvy, which causes bone pain.
I thought you were going to say something like disrupt undead.
No, bone pain. Okay.
So did I.
Ooh.
I've just got out of the vase. I've got pins and needles in my bones.
10,000 years in a lamp can give you such a crick in the neck.
So now your hand is locked at a kind of really, really abrupt wrist angle, making it really difficult for you to basically wield your sword
like
until
a
you take.
T-Rex trying to use a typewriter.
Yeah. That's a really specific reference, but yes.
Okay.
And it will remain that way until the end of the combat, at which point you can sort of undo that strap and sort yourself out.
Right.
That was one for all the cold-blooded members of our audience.
Zolf.
Or cold-blooded for our US listeners.
Zolf. It was cold-blooded.
Zolf for our Swedish listeners.
Yes.
Cold-blooded. I'm sorry, everyone.
That's okay. Jim Henson did it, which means it's okay.
Okay.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.